Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk.
The only thing he said was just, I've been in his meeting room 3 times and he was going to release me. I asked him why he didn't give me an explanation. So I guess, you know, it was just because of the media. So only way I know is, you know, keep grinding and, you know, keep doing, you know, keep being myself and, you know, just get ready for the next journey, man, next chapter in my life.
What up, everybody? This was not a planned podcast. This is a bona fide emergency podcast. DJ Swearinger has been released by the Washington Redskins. I reported it this morning. DJ Swearinger also was on with Grant Paulson on 106.7 The Fan and told the news himself. This is a major, major deal. I cannot say I'm surprised after DJ's latest comments after the Titans game. There were some pretty frustrated folks on the Redskins coaching staff and front office. I don't think anybody would be surprised. This is not the first time DJ has voiced critical comments about the organization, about practices, about other players, about all sorts of stuff, honestly. But still, you cut the guy on Christmas Eve. That's a whopper. That's a big one. This is JP Finley. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast. Mitch is here. Pete is here. As always, we're brought to you by the good folks. Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Fellas, I don't think a 1 to 10 scale is high enough here. Let's go 1 to 100. This news is a what for you, Mitch?
This is a 99.999. I mean, 95. Got to leave a little bit of room, but you can say you're not surprised. I'm freaking surprised.
I mean, surprised.
The biggest thing being that
I'm only not surprised because of conversations I've had in the last 48 hours.
Right. We've heard DJ talk about the coaches, the other players, that he's been vocal the entire year, hasn't been disciplined at least publicly once, and to go from 0 to 100 and be cut without being deactivated for a game, internally fined, whatever their role of disciplining players is pretty astronomical to me.
Yeah, and up to this point in this season, we've had players, you know, Zach Brown, Mason Foster, Josh Norman, all these guys kind of get involved in skirmishes and saying things to the media or just doing things off the field that aren't great, and there hasn't been any discipline there. So for this to be kind of the one that gets the full-on release decision is shocking. So Mitch has been asking for accountability from Redskins Park all year long, and for them to kind of turn to that in week 17 when there's been plenty of other choices to have guys accountable for is kind of surprising in its own right.
But I do think it's important. I want to be clear that I don't think releasing him is the right move. I think especially with the playoffs gone, you suspend him for week 17, you try to really sit down, have a conversation, and be like, look, man, this has got to be different in 2019. Everybody's tired at the end of the year. Everybody's ready for the season to end in a lot of ways. However, it's important to note, it is unfair to be critical of the staff to say that this is just releasing him occurred just because of the comments in Tennessee. This is 2 years of this stuff, and the staff is tired of it. I mean, the first time we really heard this was last year in LA after they got blowed out by the Chargers. Remember that, Mitch?
Yeah.
And we're all like, oh boy, And then
DJ called out the players for not practicing hard enough, and it was too much laughing, and all the stuff that he's been saying over and over and over and over again for 2 years.
Right, and then it all, I mean, this year it started happening a lot.
Early.
I mean, I think it happened three or four times this season, and Gruden was very clear after the last situation, because he said it publicly, and I know this was said privately from conversations I've had, that do not go to the media with your criticisms anymore. Do not do that.
That's after the Giants game, when he kind of in the locker room hinted at frustrations but didn't really go full-on scorched earth.
It had happened a number of times this year. I think we can count three times this year where these things happened. And
this most recent one was scorched earth.
This most recent one...
It made it untenable for Greg Minuski and... DJ Swearinger to work together again.
Sure.
And not in the short term, not saying week 17 solely, but going forward after this year.
Yeah. And I want to be clear, everybody should go listen to Grant's interview with Swearinger, because he was saying some wild stuff. I mean,
he was letting it rip.
Yeah, he went full open. You can find it on their website. I think Swearinger said that he was voted captain and the team wouldn't let him be captain. Swearinger said that knowing DJ a little bit, I am confident he will not back down, that he watches more film than the coaching staff. I'm not sure I agree with that. I honestly don't know the answer. But DJ really is a student of the game. He works out all the time. This is not a guy that mails it in.
He cares, and not only does he watch all the film and work out as hard as he does, we were down there in the offseason in Miami with him, and he had Fabian Moreau, he had Quentin Dunbar, he had these guys down there working out with him, trying to get not just himself better, but the rest of the D better as well. He was a player's guy. Like, the guys that were in the foxhole with him, he was in there for.
Yeah, but we see him being a player's guy, and we see him having games like he did on the road in New York where he just takes over, and you're like, this guy's so good. How has he been on so many teams? How has he not found a home? And I think these types of comments and these types of butting heads are the reason why he's now going to be on to his fifth franchise.
Well, I think it's also... He did take over that New York game up in the Meadowlands, but he's been kind of invisible since.
He's been...
Right. I mean, I pulled up his game
And not
logs.
Just invisible. We've seen him...
He's been visible for negative things.
Yes. Yeah. We've seen him punch at the ball instead of making a tackle.
He had four picks through the first half of the season, the first eight games, including two in the Meadowlands.
Two against the Colts.
Hasn't had a pick since. I mean, the tackles are down. There's been missed tackles. He missed a big tackle in that Titans game where he read it right. He flew to the ball, just wasn't able to get home. I mean, it's just, this is a... It's a lot to take in. I wonder... to me, this shows that the current power structure in Ashburn believes they're all coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't let your head coach make this move unless he's empowered and feels like he's ready to come back and coach more in 2019. Because you just decimated your safety depth chart and are going to be in the market for free agents and draft picks.
You're in the market for three safeties at minimum next year and maybe more.
Yeah. I mean, it's a total restructuring of that position, which looked like kind of a strength going into the year, and once DJ was playing well, now it's... Could be a huge, the biggest question mark on a team full of them, besides quarterback.
Will Blackman is our guy. I think a lot of you folks know that. He had some really smart tweets Saturday night after the game. Let's point out also Jonathan Allen, who is a leader on this team already and is only going to grow in that role, tweeted out Saturday night after the game, after Swearinger's comments had kind of blown up, he said, "Greg Minuski coached a great game." I think that's worth pointing out.
And Swearinger said today that he said, of course John's going to say that. He had a great game. That's why he was on Minuski's side. And I think it's important to point out that I don't think John is the type of player that only supports a coach when things are going well, so to speak. It's not just that he had a good game. I mean, he's not saying that because week 16 of this year he had a good game. He's a guy that's thoughtful in his remarks and doesn't come out on social media ever.
So here's what Blackman wrote. As a player, you have to be smart when criticizing a coach, GM, or owner. It can put an asterisk next to your brand. All of these coaches, GMs, owners are connected, and they for real talk. It doesn't matter how talented you are. If teams don't feel like dealing with it, they won't. I think you're seeing that Blackman knows what he's talking about. I think the Redskins have decided they do not feel like dealing with this, and that's why Swearinger's getting released. If you had listened to Charlie Casserly on our shows on Redskins 100, Charlie's all over. He's on NFL Network. He does all sorts of media. He's been talking about this for a while, that there is a reason Swearinger's been on a number of teams. When he has produced in Arizona, before he got here, in Arizona he was good, and they still didn't go to re-sign him. I'm very curious to see what happens, because there are teams going into the playoffs that could use Swearinger.
I'm seeing Eagles fans, Chiefs fans, everybody wants
Chiefs,
him.
Rams come to mind for me.
He's a playoff-caliber player. Hell, he's an alternate for the Pro Bowl.
Phillips had a good tweet. I think it was Phillips. What helmet does he wear if he makes the Pro Bowl? Now, you got to make the Pro Bowl. Like, you still have to be named as an alternate.
I think Swearinger said on Granddaddy that he would throw on a South Carolina helmet.
That'd be pretty cool.
JP said one with a couple spoons.
Yeah, dude, just get your own two spoons.
Just two spoons helmet, yeah.
I want to be clear that DJ is a good person. He works very hard, watches a lot of film. Like, I'm not bashing DJ Swearinger. I think it went bad with him and with him and the Redskins, obviously. I think a lot of fans are mad at the Redskins and not mad at DJ Swearinger. I just think people got to keep in mind this was a big picture. This was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Yeah.
This was the straw. This was not a one-time incident that folks couldn't handle.
Right, and if Swearinger's going after coaches, then on that defense you're going to have guys who side with Swearinger and guys who side with the coaches, and then you're just dividing your defense down the middle. That's not a healthy way to go about it. So he may be a talented player. He was one of their biggest difference makers, but if you want to kind of cure this thing long-term, and I understand there's going to be disagreements between players and coaches, that's healthy, but I don't know if what DJ was doing was totally healthy or conducive to winning.
Next year, well, that's what Jay Gruden said, is I don't think he realizes that this is not productive and now he's caused a distraction.
Yeah.
And people will make the equation of the Mason Foster comments, and Mason Foster's comments were wrong and he shouldn't have made them, but they weren't public. This was to multiple cameras, microphones in a NFL locker room following a game.
And Mason did it once. DJ's been doing it all year.
I also think there's a different in an NFL locker room within the NFL world, players talking about stuff that is happening outside of the team is a distraction when the media is in there asking you questions about it. When we have to go in and ask his coworkers about Mason saying F the fans or whatever, that's a distraction. It's a totally different ballgame when you're talking about what's happening between the doors, when you're talking about what's happening within the team, because it's a distraction when the media comes in and has to ask about DJ questioning the coaching staff or whatever. But also in team meetings, people are, as Minuski's laying out the game plan, players are looking over their shoulder. What's DJ saying? What's DJ thinking? Is DJ, you know, this, that, and the other thing. It becomes an in-house distraction, and that's when it becomes totally untenable.
The kind of what happens next of all this is ugly. I think you're looking at Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and DJ and DeShazer Everett for week 17, but I don't think they're going to re-sign Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I don't think they should unless it's bargain basement prices.
Right.
You know, Deron Payne's been great, but Derwin James was sitting there at the draft. You know, you kind of look back on some decisions that were made in a different light. James has been fantastic.
They thought they had some pretty short up secondary there with Monte and DJ.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And Monte's still floating out there, this enigma. Who knows what's going to happen with him?
Right.
So,
right,
I mean, it's, you know, there's
Troy Apke.
Right.
Troy
Apke. The hamstring that can't stay healthy.
All right.
Not the first major move the Redskins have made on Christmas Eve.
Let's hit.
In 2010, I believe it was, they booted Albert Haynesworth from practice on Christmas Eve.
Shanny?
In the snow, yeah. And
I can only imagine how hard Albert Haynesworth was practicing in the snow.
I'm sure he really didn't want to leave.
I believe it was a pads practice, and he refused to put on pads, if my memory serves me correctly.
Sounds mature.
It was the end of a lost season anyway, and it just turned into more shenanigans and ballyhoo.
Yeah. These lost seasons, these last couple weeks when things don't matter, it can get kind of ugly.
Yeah, to say the least. All right, want to make sure you guys are buying cars from Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Go get a Camry. Go get a Corolla.
We'll never badmouth them, so don't worry about that.
You're damn right.
We love
publicly
our boys.
Or private.
Yeah,
or privately.
Bob Biagi makes all the right play calls.
We love our guys.
That's not Biagi's store. That's Garv's store.
Sorry, that's also Garv. He's a great coordinator as well.
Garv was at the podcast party.
I do not watch more film than Garv, I'll tell you.
Garv is the man. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
That was the first time I really got to hang out with him.
I believe Garv just had another baby. Garv and I are on like the same baby track.
Nice. Oh boy.
Which, if you're listening at home, the JP baby girl number two has not arrived yet. But
I got you.
If you notice a few days without a podcast, you'll know why. When
do you
it
think
happens.
Garv goes to Biagi when he needs to upgrade to a new car, or does Garv buy from Garv?
I would think Garv buys from Garv. No.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, Pete, we haven't gotten your number yet. 1 to 100, where you at?
95. We had just finished filming Redskins 100. Pretty normal show, breaking down the Titans game. Did a little Secret Santa gift exchange. And then as we're standing up, the news breaks, and we kind of had to redo the whole show. And, yeah, I think a suspension maybe would have been the right path to go, but they went full-on release, and I was quite floored. But I was thinking about this. The Redskins this entire year have kind of made those surprising moves. They took Adonis in the supplemental draft and you weren't expecting it. They traded for HaHa. They cut DJ. They trade for Alex during the Super Bowl. It's just been kind of a year of the emergency podcast. And now it's fitting that we do one more.
It is fitting we do one more. Swearinger gone. I don't think it's the right move. It's a major, major move. I think it's a solid 95. I think that sounds right.
I think we all agree. At least I agree. It's definitely the wrong move to me.
I like the idea of standing up to your players and kind of keeping the authority on the coach's side, but I don't know if this was the proper way to do so.
I just think part of Jay's...
I don't think that he had a choice, man. I think these comments were so strong that they were left with no choice.
I don't want to take the route that somebody else takes all the time, but do you think the culture around the team allows DJ to feel comfortable in calling out coaches like that or making those kinds of comments?
I know there have been conversations in the last month to say you cannot do this anymore. And I think that's why the organization was left with no choice.
Yeah.
Because it's insubordination at a certain point.
That's 1,000% insubordination. Right. No question about
it's
that.
It's kind of interesting that next year is the first year where Swearinger's deal has no guaranteed money. So... I think
it was what, like a little over a mil, 1.3.
He was due. He was due
5.8.
Oh yeah, over five. But it's 1.3 in dead money. But it's they'll save 4.5.
1.3 in dead money is pocket change.
Right. Especially the cap's going to go up.
Right.
Between this and now, they kind of have decision time with Josh Norman. The secondary as a whole might look super duper different.
If this is a rebuild, it's hard. You're looking at a situation where Alex Smith is not going to be back, I don't think. At least for week one of 2019. Let's say that.
I think that's certainly, as we sit here on Christmas Eve, that's what it seems like.
You don't have a quarterback. You don't have really any skill. I mean, skill position guys are at best a B-.
I don't even think it's a B. C.
Boy.
Maybe you get Geist back.
Yeah.
Maybe you bring AP back. I don't know. But the receiving group, you're probably losing Crowder. You got one more year at Doxson. What happens with Jordan Reed? I mean, there's no... Maybe Paul Richardson stays healthy 10 games. The offense looks like a C group if things break right.
So does the defense, too.
But now I'm going to say the defense, you've got the horses up front. You've got a good front seven. You're going to lose Preston Smith. But you got Ioannidis, Allen, Payne, Kerrigan. You like that part. Clearly, they like Sean Dion Hamilton. I don't know that they'll lose Preston, but I would think it's tracking.
It seems more than likely that they will.
Okay. That was a big statement, so I wanted to get that.
I'm not saying they are losing him. Right. I just, you got needs at edge, you got needs in the middle, now you've got nothing in the secondary. You literally have DeShazer Everett on the roster. Norman is the first year with a real off ramp in his contract. Dunbar has a nerve issue that nobody knows the answer to. Shit.
Secondary.
Merry Christmas.
Barren. That's an empty stocking right there.
Tressway, MVP 2 years in a row.
Specialist should be back, except hopefully Sunberg. Can't even have all three specialists.
Are they?
Are you talking rebuild?
I don't know.
I
rebuild with the same coach though. That would be kind of pointless. But I think the coach is back.
They might have Reuben Foster, who's, I mean, we're getting crazy. you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. None of us know.
The organization feels like they were left with no option. But when you look at the options that come after no option, it's pretty ugly.
They just had to make it one more week and just kind of cool down in the offseason. But
I would include DJ in that group.
Right.
Right. It's not on the coaches.
Of course. Yeah.
Or front office. And, you know, it certainly leaves. There's heading into an offseason with a lot of question marks. This is just one more big one to throw in there.
Big indeed. All right, we're done unless you guys have more to add.
Whatever
Christmas podcast we had planned, I'm not sure if it's happening, and I apologize. I still want to rate all the Christmas ornaments. I've gotten a ton. They're great. We appreciate them. But,
whew. Do you think this affects Greg Minuski?
I don't know.
Torian Gray, the whole kind of defensive side of the ball in the secondary?
Affects them how?
Whether they
like
come back.
Like how they feel?
No. Feelings? Like DJ said on Sunday, don't ask me about my feelings.
Right.
Whether these guys are back next year, whether there's any sort of consistency on the defensive side of the football.
I don't know that I knew the answer to that before this happened. I think we've already said it, that we all believe the staff making this decision must feel like they're coming back to make this decision. Because this decision probably got rung up the ladder to the front office and possibly ownership. And everybody involved in that knows that Swearinger's a fan favorite and that he's under contract next year.
Right.
So, at an affordable cost, like we've mentioned. So, I would think, and I don't know this, this is me speculating, I would think there was support for this move all the way up the ladder. And again, I would say, because from their standpoint, you have clear insubordination.
Right. Yeah. But I wonder if that support starts with Minuski and goes up, or it just starts at Gruden and goes up, and Minuski's not really a factor in this.
Sure. I think it's certainly the organization siding with the coach, with Minuski in the short term, Jay to a further extent, and then on up the ladder. So, I don't know, man. I think, like you said, if they're allowing these changes to happen, and, you know, 7 days from now, on Monday, the coaching staff is not intact.
Yeah.
Then, especially at the head coach position,
this becomes a
super weird decision.
Yeah, man, you got to wonder about the long view.
If that happens.
If the long view was looked at, honestly.
Right. If there are blinders in the short term.
Yeah. And as much as DJ has gotten hot and reacted on game days, if others were getting hot and reacting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this came, you know, 3 days after the game, 2 days after the game. So maybe, I don't know, man. This is the I don't know, man.
Yeah. No song for this podcast, huh?
No, dude. No. All right, we're done.
Darkness, everybody, my old friend.
Yeah, we'll play that.
That's all, just all a, way out. Should be our theme song.
Yeah, this is the rest of the pods for the season.
Hold a spoon up for DJ tonight.
What's everybody doing for Christmas? Well, Mitch doesn't celebrate Christmas.
It's all right. It's my mom's birthday, which is just as important as Christmas. And
for you, certainly.
For me, certainly.
Yeah.
And we have a nice dinner and a
Christmas
movie plan.
Chinese food?
We don't do Chinese food anymore. My dad picks some nice place to take my mom for dinner, go see a movie.
Pete looks so bad. I cannot believe you wore that sweater vest on television.
It looks better in the first show than it did on the second show.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the jingles are picking up, are being picked up on the pod from this terrible sweater.
I don't know.
How about you?
Going out to the Lord's parents' church. Pappy Van Winkle.
I
feel like we've earned the Pappy.
That's needed after today.
We've earned the Pappy. And I want to thank B-Mitch for an awesome Christmas gift. He got me a bottle of Basil Hayden's, which I'm very excited about. We're doing all right.
He got me some bourbon. I might drink it tonight.
Pete, I was so angry at Pete earlier. He's like, what am I going to do with this stupid bourbon? I'm like, it's a reserved bottle of Woodford. Like, not Woodford Reserve, but their reserved collection.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm taking that from you.
I'm taking it from you.
It's staying in my apartment. It'll be broken up for special occasions or for when the team cuts players by surprise.
All right, guys. We got to go. Merry Christmas. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Eggnog.
That release, man. So that's the last of that. And just looking forward to moving forward, man, and getting on with my journey.